All right, what is up, everybody? We are in Madison, Wisconsin for the CrossFit Games. Super excited to be here. This is Beyond the Barbell, brought to you by Reebok, the official outfitter of the CrossFit and CrossFit Games. We're actually right here underneath the Reebok tent.
Yeah, this is officially Reebok territory. Like if you had, in different countries you have embassies, and that's actually part of their country. This is part of Reebok. Where we are now, Graham.
Yeah, this is official. We're staying dry as well, so.
Yeah, weather's not so nice, but we are happy to be joined by Graham Holmberg. He's a long-time Games veteran, champion in 2010.
Six times
Games veteran.
Six times. I want that seventh.
You want that seventh one. So it didn't happen this year, but you're on the demo team instead. What's it been like for you, this experience, kind of being at the Games but not competing?
It's easy to say. It's bittersweet, right? It's you're out here, you're seeing, you're touching all the elements of what they're going to competing on. You're seeing the crowds, you're hearing the noise, and that environment gets you excited and makes you feel like you're part of it all. But it's not quite the same being a lot less stress free and enjoying myself rather than everything mentally being super dialed in and prepared like you would be if you're competing.
Right. I was telling Ben a story about the first time that you and I met we didn't really meet because we were competing, and you're a very focused competitor. Like, you're not talking to anybody. It's different people act differently in those situations, right? So I was more of a kind of get to know everybody, talk to as many people as I could. But you were locked in. I didn't get a chance to really bond with you until, we went to these different Reebok events.
Sure.
And maybe you can talk about that, because I find your personality outside of competition to be very different than your personality inside competition.
Yeah, I think, it would have been 09, Aromas. Yep. You were wearing, the Vibram Five Fingers, so I'm like, okay, that guy's totally weird. Not talking to him.
Those are called social cues, man. I think you made the right call. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Don't judge a book by its cover, but... So that year, first time ever competing at a CrossFit Games, and I feel like I'm pretty chill and pretty laid back, and like to have a good time. But when you're at a competition and you're around a bunch of athletes, you don't know how people are going to respond. So it's kind of like you either gravitate towards the people or you just kind of stay a little bit introverted and just do your own thing and do what you know and what you can control. Over the years, I've definitely noticed that hanging out and standing on your feet and being around people and talking is very exhausting and eats up a lot of your energy. So, I've kind of found over the years, I try to stay kind of with the people I know, so the conversations don't have to get real in depth and you're not asking a bunch of questions. It's just, kind of a little bit more comfortable to chill with the people you know and not try to gravitate out. Because if I come up to you and I don't know you, we're going to start asking questions. And
right, you got
to
work at it a little bit.
We're going to go into detail. So I think that's probably at least my experience with trying not to meet everybody at a competition.
So that was 2009. Let's fast forward 1 year to 2010, which is the year that most people got to know who you were. Talk a little bit about the difference between your attitude going into 2010 versus 2009.
09, very... Yeah, I don't want to say a lot changed, but, in 2009, I felt real cocky and felt like I'm going to go out and win this CrossFit Games. In my small little area in Columbus, Ohio that I was training, nobody would touch me in workouts, and, you felt like you're kind of on the next level. And then when I qualified, I didn't really particularly like the events, didn't really feel like I got to test some of the stuff I was good at, and they took six guys out of our region. I qualified fourth. And so that was a little bit of a humbling experience, but I was like, once I get to the Games, things will change. These events will be better. And then I took 19th. So it was a big, big kind of gut check. So the next year, I feel like I kind of got a little bit more grounded and said, I'm going to go in a little bit more open-minded and not so cocky that I'm going to do as well and just try to stay relaxed. And the events just played out really, really well for me that year. And just kept grinding. But yeah, I think it was funny. Me and Fronin and I were hanging out a lot together. And what was crazy is we were we're in the StubHub. It was the Home Depot Center at that time. But we were up in the crowd with, like, or in the open area, just rolling out. People were walking by, and it's just no, you know, people were just like, oh, hey, I think those guys are competitors. You know, now you go walk in the crowd, and you're a competitor, and it's you're going to get mobbed. So it's just crazy to see the change. But from 09 to 10, even though the venue got bigger, not a ton had changed yet. But yeah, 2000, fast forward to now, totally different animal.
Well, yeah, and one of the major changes this year, obviously, we're in Madison, Wisconsin, as opposed to the StubHub Center in L.A. Give people an appreciation of what this venue is like. How is it different than, Gwen, what we're used to at the CrossFit Games?
The venue itself, you know, I think when you're just kind of walking around it, still has the same feel. You got the vendor village. You got, you know, some of the big spectacle of the stands and the jumbotrons and obviously the herds and crowds of people. But obviously we have to talk about the elements changed. I'm a Midwest guy. I was just talking with Ben's wife and just talking about playing baseball and football in Ohio. Weather, you're going to be sometimes out in the cold for hours. And, yeah, I mean, this is cool to see the athletes get thrown through a loop, I believe, with it's a little cooler. You're getting some wind, rain, and fitness is still going to – will still shine through at the end of the day. But, yeah, I like – maybe not for the fans. It's not as good. But, hey, at the end of the day, like I said, it's about finding the fittest and sometimes mixing up – the elements that we're training in is a good challenge and a good new test of fitness.
So, I mean, when you add in that element, right, of the weather, right, there is that aspect of it. But how much of it is you wanting to compete actually in Madison that makes you want to be here, right? Like, you've been at the Aromas Games, you've been at Carson, and now there's this third iteration of the games. And right now...
It's, I mean, like your backyard, man.
Yeah, and you're a part of it, but not in the same way, right? Not in the same way. I mean, talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's to be doing this for almost a decade. And, yeah, I definitely was really, really excited for this year, the opportunity to say, all right, I've competed in Aromas. I've competed in Carson. I've competed in Madison. Very few people are going to be able to say that. And, right now, going through the list, you know, maybe Stacy Tovar, I think, Ben Smith. There was another.
Becca Voigt.
So, yeah, I think.
Yeah, Spieler.
Yeah, Spieler. Casper Bauer,
right?
Yeah.
Was Orlando?
Actually, I don't know. Casper Bauer didn't get to Aroma City.
He did.
On the team.
Wait. Actually, yeah, he did compete team.
Yeah.
That's right. And then.
What about Rob Orlando? Was he in Aromas?
He was at Aromas.
And he competed in Carson ever?
Yeah, he competed in Carson, yeah.
Neil Maddox
here on the,
was my judge.
Yeah,
in
and
Aromas.
He's here on the master side.
Yeah, Neil Maddox didn't compete in Aromas.
Right, he was my judge, though.
How about that?
On my deadlift ladder. And I just remember him being like, yeah, I just wanted to scope it out. I want to see what you guys are like, and I'm going to be out here next year. And then, yeah, sure.
Called a shot.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. So when David had asked me to be a part of the demo team, you know, a part of my ego and my own pride says, no. Like, if I'm going to be there, I'm going to be there on the floor, being an athlete contending. But, you know, as obviously with getting a little bit older, I feel like sometimes you have to kind of be realistic in where you're at. And yeah, I had a great effort and, you know, a great showing for myself personally at regionals and just missed the mark a little bit this year. So it's not like I was upset with my performance or something happened that shouldn't have happened and, you know, feel like I'm holding a grudge against anything. So I wanted to kind of see what the new venue would be like, and there's an opportunity maybe for me to do team next year. So I wanted to touch some of the elements that the teams potentially would touch and maybe just see some of the behind the scenes with CrossFit HQ and how things are, you know, analyzed and approached, and maybe some of that knowledge can help my experience and maybe even coaching an athlete down the road as well. So, yeah, I felt like it'd be silly to not come out here and be a part of this. It's been an awesome, awesome week so far.
Yeah, I agree, man. I just as the guy who's kind of sat next to you and trained with you and tried workouts with you, I mean, I don't really think you've lost a step, at least in these workouts. I can't imagine. It was just, I think it's just a timing issue, you know, and whatnot. I don't see any reason why you wouldn't be back here next year and have your goal, you know what I mean, fulfilled. Because, yeah, still pretty solid, brother.
Yeah, I mean, you're still training every day. I think it's a smart call to be out here and see the other side of it. You know, especially since things have changed, like you mentioned earlier. Athletes are not available to spectators while they're competing, right? You are. And you've been walking around, a lot of people getting pictures with you that they probably don't really normally get, you know? So that's a good thing. That's a good thing for your brand. That's a good thing for kind of you being humanized to some of these people. And like you said, if you're going to be on a team or coach an athlete down the way, you need more than just the athlete's perspective.
Sure.
Right? You need to know what else is going on,
sure,
who to talk to get help and things like that. So,
yeah. I think I had somebody last year, or when I came back from I came out and watched the games last year, the 10-year reunion, CrossFit brought me out, and they said, hey, we want to do kind of a past champions tribute, and the whole Aromas trip kind of threw that off a little bit. They still utilized me and had me sit behind the desk and talk about the ring handstand push-up event, because that year in 2010, I won that event. I think technically Spieler won it, but the stopwatches, we were going by stopwatches then. So my judge's thumb was a little quick, and I think Spieler's judge's thumb was a little slow, and I ended up getting the win on that. But yeah, I think somebody had told me when I came back, they're like, oh, it had to have been awesome just to be out there and not have to compete. And I was like, I think I'd rather be playing in the Super Bowl than watching the Super Bowl in the stands on the 50-yard line. You know, it's a great seat, and it's awesome, and I'm right on the 50-yard line. But I think I'd rather be calling the shots and running the plays on the field and experiencing the Super Bowl as an athlete. I don't think that'll ever change.
Have you felt any Super Bowl fatigue, like, so to speak, like, because it is extremely stressful to be here. You've won it before, so your expectations are not just to show up. You want to perform well and, you know, become champion again. We hear a lot of athletes talking about the psychological toll it kind of takes on them to be here. And, like, for some of them, it's not fun anymore. You know what I mean? Because of that. Have you noticed any of that over the years competing, or has it only gotten easier for you?
Yeah, honestly, the psychological toll, you know, whether every athlete may admit it or not, I genuinely believe there's ebbs and flows of that. So it was just a couple weeks ago, I'm at the gym training with the guys, and I said, I'm telling a guy he's in the hunt. He's trying to make regionals. He's trying to make the games. He's getting ready to go compete at the Granite Games. His name's Scott Cottrell. He actually won the first Open Wad this year. And so here's a guy, he's just hungry as all get out for it. And there's a quote, right? The wolf climbing the mountain is hungrier than the wolf sitting on top of the mountain. And in one way, it's like, okay, I'm on top of the mountain. I've been there. I've experienced it. I've won it. And how do I keep rekindling that flame to still stay so hungry for it? But I'm sitting there with him. We just got done, you know, doing something gross. I don't know what the workout was. And I just was like, I'm just done, man. I'm just tired of pushing myself this hard every day. It's just not fun anymore. I'm not excited for it, and it's over. It's just like it's gone. And he's just looking at me, and I'm like, well, that's got to be hard for you to hear when you're like, dude, you're right there still. You're still one of the top guys. You know, if you look at regional rankings and whatnot, I was 10th in my region, but if you put all the regional athlete scores together, I'm like 52nd. So I'm only 12 spots out potentially of the 40th fittest guy here, right? So he's like, dude, you have the potential and the capacity to still be there, and that hurts. You know, I'm like, it hurts him a little bit to hear that, because he's like scratching and clawing to get there. But all it takes is a week later, you have a good training session, you have a good workout, and you're like, nah, dude, I can do this still, and I am still hungry for it. So it's just, you know, I think adding kids into the element, running a business into the element, programming, trying to set up online programming, coaching athletes via satellite, adding all that stuff in, it's hard to not have ebbs and flows of where you're excited and then times where you're like, I'm just not hungry for it anymore. So it's tough.
I mean, you bring up all those different things you have going on, right? Obviously, mixing some kiddos into the mix, right, like adds to it. Do you think that's what it is? It's just sometimes that kind of like that bucket is full and you get kind of like overwhelmed, and so the first thing that you want to just, you can't tell the kids to go do something else. You can't tell the wife to go do something else. Your gym and your programming needs you, right? So the one thing that you're going to put to the side is maybe that intensity and training.
Sure.
Is that, you think it's a little bit of that?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's... We were kind of kidding and talking about, Paul was talking about training with some people, and he was like, now's not, Paul didn't say it, but he's like, now's not the time to push. And, you know, shoot, does those words ever come out of Matt Frazier's mouth, or have those words ever came out of Rich Froning's mouth, where it's, now's not the time to push? I don't know. Is that mindset ever creep in, and or does it, and they just never show that playing card?
I think those words have never come out of Matt Frazier's mouth, but I think they've come out of Froning's mouth.
But
sure.
We talk about this sometimes, Blair, you and I, and we talk about the fact that CrossFit really has no off season for those guys who are really trying to climb the mountain, those hungry wolves, right? Like, these guys are pushing themselves day in and day out, and when something hurts, they're pushing through it. When something doesn't feel right, they're going to grind through it, right? And that maybe... that's something that we need to kind of step back and kind of take a look at from maybe a 10,000-foot level rather than just what we see on the day-to-day.
Guys that push that hard all the time, in my opinion, are going to have short careers. And that's okay, right? Because you're a hungry wolf, you get to the top of the mountain, and that's enough, right? You see guys in the NFL, right? Most of them have three-year careers. But I think what separated Rich was, A, he trained more than anybody else. But he had like a really intuitive sense, and still does, of like when to push really hard and when just to get stuff in. Yeah. So he's still getting better where he's not burning himself out.
Yeah.
And you know him very well, probably better than I do. One of the most pressing elements of his personality is that he is very antsy. Like, he does not like just sitting around doing nothing.
Sure.
So it's like, it's almost like he is... you know, addicted to that activity, and so he just channels it into CrossFit, and like that really works for him.
Yeah.
You know? But I mean, I think to go back to the point you brought up about when you have that ebb and flow and you lose that fire, like, dude, age is a factor, man. Not that you are less strong or less able to recover, but like, you've done it a lot of times. You've gone through those ebbs and flows a lot of times. I have. Ben has. You know, a guy like Frazier, a guy like, I mean, some of these guys are 20 years old. Like,
right.
Like, those episodes.
Samuel Quant.
Yeah, definitely.
Cody Anderson, like, Sager even. Like, these guys, that even if they've been to the games 2-3 years, like, they're still 25 years old.
Sure.
You know, like, relative to, like, their lifespan, like, they haven't felt that many times yet. And I think the repetition of it, that just, you know, it just gets to you. That's
right.
All.
Yeah. I mean, I won the CrossFit Games when I'm 25 years old.
Won.
So, you know, they've been at it since they were 20, you know, and I got 4 years of, or, you know, essentially 8 years of high school football combined with college football, combined with high school baseball, college baseball. So 8 years of collegiate sports in a 4-year span.
Right.
And, you know, 8 letters essentially through college, and then to then take my body and put it into you know, CrossFit. And this is 09 at that, or 08 when I get started, and it's like, nobody's telling me how to air squat correctly. There's no Kelly Starrett. You look like a weirdo if you showed up at the competition with a foam roller
or with Vibram, like, five fingers.
Yeah, there you go. So now it's like, if you don't show up at a competition with the foam roller, you're the weirdo. So it's just people understand how to take care of their bodies and just how to move cleaner. And I think some of that in my earlier part of my career has lingered through. You know, we're doing demo team stuff, and I was like, well, shoot, I got to warm up, or I got to demo a 135 squat snatch. I better go warm up for 45 minutes because I just want to make sure I move well. And then I watch Ben just go jump on a row. And he's older than me, but he jumps on a row or rows of 1K, and then he just starts squat snatching 135, hadn't even touched it. Just walks up to it. And, you know, for some athletes, that's the case. It takes nothing to get ready to move well. But for me, it's a lot longer of a quest. And right now, I've been dealing with some tendonitis in the knees. That's kind of been really setting me back since regionals. And if I don't do a really proper job of warming up, I may be doing some damage. And
that all plays into it, man. It's effort, right?
Yeah.
It's effort. And the younger Hungry Wolf doesn't have to put that effort in. Their effort is all into intensity, into training, right?
Do you think sometimes, you know, and I don't necessarily want to play devil's advocate fully, but do you think some of it's just a matter of perspective? Like, you've gotten a little further, and so you're just like, some of this is not as important as the other things I have going on, right? Like, is it more important to go outside and do rowing intervals or sit on the couch with your wife and enjoy a good show and drink a cup of tea?
You know? Rowing intervals. This sounds bad.
But, I mean, tell me you haven't done it, though, right? Like, 5 years ago, you know, would you have made the call to sit on the couch, or would you make the call to go into the garage and grind it out? And, like, I've been there before. You know what I mean? As one of those guys who's maybe not young, but I was hungry trying to climb up the ladder.
Yeah.
Dude, I've been every night of the week. I've been outside, you know, at 10 o'clock at night doing rowing intervals before.
Yeah, so thinking back with, you know, even my wife. So my wife's a stay-at-home. We have three kids. And, you know, when I'm in 09 and 10 and 11, I'm at the gym teaching the last class or training during the last class. Last class comes and goes. I may be chatting with some people. And then I'm doing more work. It's basically I have just enough lights turned on in the gym so I can still keep training. Everybody's gone. You're the last one in the gym. You're closing the gym down at 9:30, 9:45 at night. And it's okay if I show up at 10 o'clock at night and Savannah's like, oh, you look exhausted. You get some good work in? And it's like, yeah, I have. Or, you know, she's working a part-time job because she needs something to keep her busy and stuff because she knows I'm going to be at the gym all day. Now I've, you know, organized my schedule that the guys know it. They're like, hey, Graham, you want to get into this? And I said, nah, man, I got some kids I got to go home and feed and put to bed. So it's like I am not at the gym past 7 o'clock because I got to get home. I got to help feed. I help get kids in baths and get kids in bed.
And not only that, that's where you want to be.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, so then it's like, okay, kids are in bed, and there's that thought, should I go out in the garage and get some work in right now? But I want to catch up with my wife, and I want to hear how her day is, because she needs to talk with an adult. She's been working with kids all day. She's been with our three kids, and to keep some sanity, she needs to have an adult conversation. And So
you talk to her about CrossFit.
Yeah, I'm like, hey, so, yeah. Yes and no. Probably more yes than no. And I'm like, you should have seen this workout we did. And she's like, honestly, Graham, I don't want to hear about it. And I'm like, you're right. That's fair. I don't mean to do that. But there's, again, there's some of that that I need to let some of that out. Or because I got to, you know, she'll ask, you know, how was the gym tonight? Or how was that endurance class? Or how was this? So I try to keep it brief. Let her know it sucked. Let her know what we did. And that's about it. You know, she doesn't need all the small details. But yeah, it's like, tell me more about the kids. What happened today? Did Storm been good? You have to spank Hadley's little butt. She's just a little pistol, but yeah, it's just it's fun finding that balance.
Does part of you, even though you would rather be sitting on the couch, even though you'd rather be putting the kids in bed, than missing that, right? Like, I can tell we've been hanging out all week. I know that that's your heart. Does a part of you miss being able to just walk out to the garage and do rowing intervals?
I don't think I've ever been excited to go do rowing intervals.
Amen.
Amen to that. Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, you flip on, you open up your phone, you kind of scroll through some social media or some documentary of Sarah Sigmund's daughter or Frazier or Froni, you know, whatever, name anybody, and it's like, it's lights out. It's nighttime, and they're putting that work in, and you're like, shoot, I'm sitting here on the couch watching them put that work in. What the heck am I doing? How would I expect to beat them? So I think there's that athletic side of you and that competitor side of you is like, dang it, I need to be getting that in. But yeah, like you said, it doesn't just go from you're doing that and then it just stops. It's gradual because obviously as the kids come into the picture and as you get older and the experience changes a little bit, it's not like it's black and white. There's definitely a migration of that change. So it's not as a firm line in the sand, I guess.
Yeah. I think what you're saying is spot on, because I feel like for me, 5 years ago, like I had missed the games for the first time and I would look, I'd be just so motivated, working so hard, changing everything about my program to like improve it. And I would gain a lot of motivation from watching others like work out. It was like, all right, well, this guy snatched 250. Like, I need to be able to snatch 250. So I'm going to like, it was there, right? Yeah. It was real. And it was exciting. And like, it felt like you were watching Rocky IV every time like you went on Facebook. It was just like,
right.
Oh, training montage, like music's kicking up, like let's go kill it. Now, you know, I can still qualify for regionals, but I'm not competitive at regionals. Like, I'm not vying for a spot at the games anymore. When I see those things, I'm like, the level is now, I'm impressed by what's happening.
Yeah.
More as like, but more through appreciation. And there's like a glimmer of motivation where I'm like, dude, like, all right, that person's working hard. That makes me want to work hard.
Sure.
But the impact on my life is different. Like, I don't go out, crank up the music, and, like, just slaughter myself. I'm like, oh, I think I'm going to get in a class wad, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I think I'm going to go do what's programmed on the board with the class and, like, be a part of that thing. It's just, and I think what you're saying is how it's gradual and it changes slowly.
Yeah.
That's very true. But when you're at the top of the top in any sport, we're talking about micro changes that make the difference, right?
Sure.
And as soon as you get to that point, like where the moments, the ebbs and flows where you say, I'm done, like, I don't want to do this anymore. As soon as those start happening, like with a little bit of frequency,
right?
Like, you got no chance.
Right.
Right. You know, like, cause that's going to be there halfway through the weekend, you know, and you can't have that.
Yeah.
And it just adds up. So I don't know. I think all athletes go through it. I think it's really a fun and interesting time in CrossFit because, it's, you know, we're part of that first generation, essentially, that is kind of like in their prime when they enter the sport and then kind of, you know, growing through it.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know. I love talking to you. I love talking to Tommy Hackenbrook. I love talking to Becca Voigt, people that have kind of gone through the same sort of maturation as an athlete,
sure,
to a business owner, to a family person, because it's real, man, you know. And that relates to our audience because now we're becoming more like regular people.
Yeah,
we have more of the same constraints, more
how
of the
dare
same
you
issues.
How dare you.
Not a regular man.
I'm gonna go do rowing intervals right now.
Oh, Ben, okay? Ben left, did a rowing interval and came back before he said that.
750s. Doing 750s.
We did do those. We broke in that rower. I think that what the perspective is so cool, you know, as it changes. I want to ask you, as a affiliate owner and as a family man, do you try to integrate those two things sometimes? Do you bring your family into the gym? Do the kiddos come and train with you?
Yeah, absolutely. So a couple days a week, my oldest son, Storm, he's 4. He'll come into the gym. Mm-hmm. And it's really cool. If we're just doing some weightlifting and some squats or working off the blocks, like, he'll want his little rogue rack set up.
Yeah.
He's like, I want my rogue rack. He's got to go put on his Nano 7s. He wants his thumbs taped. And, he gets after it with us.
He gets his thumbs taped, huh?
Yeah.
I love that.
I'm like, let's get some goat tape. Let's wrap him up. Let's get the Junk Brands headband on you. Let's get you set up. And he loves it, and he starts hitting lifts with us. So that's always pretty cool. And then, you know, as we're running laps around our building, it's cool. It's like a 200-meter lap, like perfectly 200 meters for us. And he'll, Daddy, can we run a lap, Dad? And we did this class workout the other day, and a lot of times he'll just stand at the door where everybody comes through, and he'll just stand there and give everybody high fives. And it's, it's just like, it's so cool when I come through and just give him a little high five. And sometimes he'll follow us around, and he'll do burpees and toes to rings. He can't really get up to the pull-up bars, but
sure,
he'll grab a low set of rings. And I remember this workout, it wasn't that long ago. My buddy Scott's like, hey, Graham, I got a kettlebell out for you. He's like, are you going to do this workout? And I'm like up front with my dad doing some stuff with the inventory and Pro Shop. And I was like, yeah, I'll be right out there. I'll skip the strength session. I'll be out for the Metcon. And then he's like, Graham, we're starting in like 30 seconds. I was like, all right, I'm out. And I'm hustling out, and I want to be competitive because I want to kick his butt because Scott's trying to get better, and he wants a good push.
Yeah.
And then Storm's like, Daddy, can I do it with you? And I'm like, absolutely. So that we take off, and I run the lap with him. Instead of running the 400 with the group and pushing my 400, I run the first 200 with him, and then I tell Storm, I'm like, wait here, buddy. And so now I got to catch up and kind of get back into the group. And then, of course, members are all ticked. They're like, dude, you ran multiple laps with your son, and you're still beating us in the workout. Like, I might as well have been walking. I'm like, see, that's it. You just walked the laps. You didn't even need to run them.
Are there points where your kids actually want you to work out, or maybe Storm wants you to go work out, and you haven't even brought it up yet? Are they pushing you to go work out yet?
Yeah, Storm, work with me, Daddy. Can you work with me? Work with me. Because it's like, I don't think he's realized that he says, like, can we work out?
Yeah.
He's like, I want you to work with me.
Yeah, I've got 9 and 7-year-old boys, right? Like, they're always like, can we work out? Can we work out? You know, so when he gets a little bit older even, they love that outlet and they just want that. Like, and I think even the camaraderie of the gym, you know, that we kind of gravitate towards, you know, as gym owners and coaches and whatnot, teammates, right? They actually start to want that a lot too.
Right.
So you'll have somebody on your side when you want to go to the gym and Savannah's kind of like, hey, we should relax. And, well, Storm wants to go, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
we got to go.
I got to go do some rowing intervals.
Yeah, that Storm says.
He said he wants to row 750s in the garage. So
Storm says work with me.
We're going to go 1-to-1.
Yeah, I remember going out in the garage doing this weight vest. You know, I was just doing pull-ups and dips, and I had a vest on. Storm comes out, and he was like, I don't even think he was a year and a half. And he's like kind of tugging on the other vest that I got laying on the ground, and sure enough, I throw it on him. And I put it on my Instagram, but he was bugging to put the vest on, and I said, all right, you're going to put it on. About 30 seconds of having it off, he starts complaining. I'm like, hey, I feel the same way, buddy. But you asked for it. You're going to wear the vest the whole time. You're going to wear the vest the whole time. And Savannah's like, get it off of him. He doesn't like the vest off. Like, it's empty. It weighs, like, you know, 2 pounds. He's fine. But it's good for him.
All right, man, before we let you go, just give our audience an idea of some of these other projects that you're working on. You mentioned some remote coaching. You obviously have your gym. Give them an idea of kind of business-wise what you're getting into, and then we'll let you get out of here.
Yeah, so I've always been passionate about programming. I mean, I love just trying to change things up and always trying to keep people guessing at our gym. And, you know, I found that for me, I've been doing it for so many years that there's a lot of new affiliates and athletes coming up, and they need some guidance with that. So we offer, it's called Faith Hustle Compete. So we're trying to develop people's faith and strength and belief in what they're doing. Obviously, for me, faith is my foundation in Jesus Christ and bringing God into the picture of what my whole life is about. And then, obviously, God's always called on to hustle. We need to move. We need to constantly keep grinding, and the chores never stop. And whatever we do it for the glory of God. So it's not a matter of like, oh, I'm doing this for God, but God's given me the opportunity to do this. So I want to make sure that I'm giving it my best effort. And then compete. You know, obviously we're doing it so then at the end of the day we can kind of measure and see how our results are. So that's the programming brand that we have. It's kind of taken a backseat, at least for me for right now, because the open, the regionals, focusing on the business. So it's kind of another layer that I'm adding on, and I'm looking forward to getting more in depth with it. So it's not like I have, you know, hundreds of athletes or affiliates that are following it, but hopefully as my individual and potentially team career is starting to become less and less prevalent, that I can focus on that. And then, you know, essentially just giving back. I want to be able to take the knowledge and experience that I've been able to, you know, accumulate over the years in competing in CrossFit and be able to share that knowledge and wealth with others and help them reach their goals. So that's what it's about, I believe.
Killed that, man.
Yeah, awesome.
Great,
man.
Great explanation.
Yeah. So people want to follow you. I'm sure most of them already are, but how they stay in touch with what you're doing and see what you're up to.
Yeah, so, you know, just from, you know, I guess the social media handle, just Graham Holmberg on Instagram. FaithHustleCompete.com is a little bit with the programming that we offer, free trial, info at FaithHustleCompete.com. But, yeah, I feel like nowadays we're fairly accessible as CrossFit athletes, even though it's, you know, it's like, oh, some people look at CrossFit athletes on a pedestal. We're pretty easy to get a hold of if they really absolutely want that. So I'm out there to help answer questions and assist people if they'd love me to help them.
All right, man.
If you guys message me on Instagram, I'll give you Graham's cell phone number so you can just call him whenever you want to.
Home address,
direct contact.
Home address and cell phone number. So
bank account login, all that stuff. You know.
Yeah.
Guys, remember, follow us at BTV Podcast. We got a lot of behind-the-scenes footage from the games here in Madison, first year. Big thanks to Graham Holmberg.
Thanks, Blair,
for being here. And stay tuned, guys. We'll see you next time.